milk tins or just tins which were used already. So we'd put some kind of plastic on top, and we had like different sizes of these tins, making different tones of music, and we could play around. And we even made some small money, you know, because people sometimes during festivities would go from door to door and play in front of a house, you know, like five of us, and people enjoy. So it is something that I can do, but I think I have this big responsibility now as more of a sort of like manager, just to sort of like try and guide, try and support what is already there.
I wanted to ask Erica if she had questions, since I know we spoke a little bit before this.
I think you're doing great. And normally we have a couple of students on the call, so Nicole's getting the whole show today, but I'm afraid you can keep rolling.
I'm going back to sort of like when you were touring with Jaguar. Were there any places that you really loved, or some places that you would revisit again that you hadn't been back since?
I remember we went, I don't know, was that New Mexico? I can't really remember where we were for the first time, you know, like in the, what are those called? Like the hang, and there were this big like mountain and valleys, and then you have like a cable car, what you call it?
Cable car.
Which was a bit scary. I remember some of the people like closing their eyes and praying, because you know, and some of these cable cars had like glass and fit, so you could see down there, and it was a bit crazy. Of course, you know, the thing about touring is that we did not really have enough time to also meet the people, exchange, because that is something that I would love to do, to also hear their stories, and to sort of like relate. And in some situations in the tour, I also met some people who had no sort of like clue of how Africa, because how Africa, is it safe there? And they said, you know, I'm from Tanzania, and we never had a war in Tanzania. You know, it's one of those few countries where, you know, it's always been peaceful. So of course, Africa is a continent, and there are many countries. But ours is always like that. It's a friendly, I think, of course, for those who have been here, they might actually be able to prove my words. So I really loved to see, but I loved, of course, I loved New Mexico as that one area, and also the fact that at one point we went to this special center where they had some people, especially people with disability, where we also performed, and I was impressed, because even here, you know, those kind of people get support, but there are also some areas where a lot of those people are just maybe at home, sort of like hidden, and they don't get accesses like those ones, because I remember we visited that place, and there were some paintings done by, you know, some people, and even I remember one funny story, because we had a dancer, a young girl, with us, and at one point, you know, we were playing the music, and she was dancing with them, and they were dancing, and then there was also this young man, he was also, they were all, you know, people with disability, and he was also interested to dance with our dancer. And then I think there was another girl, also with a disability, who was very close to this young man, and she took like a scarf and started kind of like slapping, because she thought it was too much, that maybe his boyfriend would have been taken by our dancer or stuff like that. It was funny. I think we were so impressed, because even I was, after that performance, most of it was also something very good for us. It was like a therapy also, to see like you engage with people who usually we sort of like keep aside in the, like especially in the poor communities, and for them it was a learning process. And at one point we were in New York, and we were in this underground kind of a transport system, and then we stopped somewhere, and then a guy came in, and he was like, you know, I've not slept for 2 days, I've not eaten, and he had some kind of a tin, and he said, can you maybe share a coin or something like that, through a car accident. And he came to my room and said, you know, tomorrow if you go out again, I would like to take some of my coins to go and share with those guys out there. Yeah, you know, people are like that. But of course, he was also from a poor family. So I took those coins, and there was this shop in New York where they sell different things. So I went there, and then I used, because for him, it was difficult to understand the coins, the American currency. So I knew that this was a lot of money too. So I went, and then I bought some gifts for his kid, for his father, for some of the friends. And then I came back with a bag, and then he said, you know, those coins we wanted to give away, this is what I got for your families. And he was so surprised. But I said, it's not that I don't want you to help people, but I said, you know, I was told, I don't know, if maybe you can prove me that, you know, some of these people also sometimes are being taken to some special centers. If that is true, I don't know. That is something that I heard. And then, but usually they escape because they want to be in town, and then they ask for money. And sometimes when they get the money, they go to the supermarket and maybe take cans of beer, and then they drink and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not really sure. So I said, you know, because you have got a lot of, I told him that you have got a lot of people around you that you can also help with what you get from this tour. So it was interesting. And then I think for me, even here, we try sometimes when I work for the festivals, and when we invite artists to come, usually I think it's very important for those who can hear this, that it's very important if somebody comes from far away, it's so unfair that they come the first day, they stay the second day, the fourth day they perform, the third day they perform, and the fourth day they leave, they fly away. I think there's a need for a chance for them to also be able to meet the people, see the scenery and visit here and there. And I think that's what, for me, that makes sense. But I don't know how, but it is something that I feel sometimes it is, artists are being treated unfair on that angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually wanted to ask, currently right now you're the director for the Nafasi Art Space, correct?
The manager of Nafasi Art Space Performing Arts Department.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, how did you get to be in that position?
You know, I did not really, like many others here, I did not really had a chance to start formally, you know, like the art.
Yeah.
It was something that I loved. And of course, when I went to work for the festival in Zanzibar, the director had a much longer experience in that area. So he became my mentor. And then I started going online and, of course, trying to find out how that works. But I also had opportunities to go to different places. At some point, I went for an internship for 3 months in Germany. There's this world and folk music festival. It's called Festival Hudostadt. So I also stayed. So those areas where usually I sort of like managed to learn through practicing and through asking questions. And I usually I like to network and partner, and where I find difficulties, I ask and try to find answers. And so here, when I came, because of my experience, you know, working with Sauti za Busara, and you know, I think I played a big part in the festival in terms of how we curate it and select the artists. But it's not only about selecting, it's also about how to sort of like program them, you know, which artist starts, which one finishes, you know, from this artist to this art, you know. So those that is a tricky part. If you mess up, then sometimes I think people who might leave earlier and then they miss the best part later. So these are areas where somehow I have some expertise on.
How do you curate some of your work? I know you said, you know, you have to be able to put stuff in order so that it kind of works, but do you have like a process in which you curate stuff, or is it kind of more like, well, I think this sounds good, and then this person next, and that person next?
Because usually, you know, when we have artists coming to perform, we ask them to send the promotional materials. So we read who they are. We watch their videos, we watch their live performances, and then sometimes you know that you, something like this, I think, deserves to be in the beginning. And then, of course, the graph needs to go up. And then sometimes in the middle, you can even slow it down a bit, depending on how it is. And like here at Nafasi, our events are not predominantly music, like multidisciplinary kind of like events where we have both visual and performing in the same platform. So for example, usually we have we start our events by like from 3 p.m. we have like we call it Chap Chap Workshop is a workshop, is a public workshop where you can come with your family. So yourself, your friends, your parents, they can all participate in this kind of workshop. It's more fun, but also very artistic, to sort of like get people to be interested in the arts when they come here. So they also experience different things. And because going back, you know, first it started as a visual art space only. And to get a lot of locals interested in the arts, especially things like paintings, especially things like abstract paintings, it was very difficult. They were like, okay, so what is this? This is like someone who doesn't know how to do, because people want to see something clear. They want to see you, your face, and your nose. And so to get people to come and be interested, we decided to have them performing art elements. Because music is loud, people love music, love to dance. So then we had people coming here. So after Chap Chap, what follows later is exhibitions. So we open up the exhibition and people go in the exhibition rooms, then so they can see all these paintings. And we had announcements, we explained what it is, and people started asking questions. And immediately after that, they go back to the main stage. That is me. And there, of course, maybe we start with it could be theater or like something like really sort of like building up something that is mellow, not so upbeat. So it goes like that. So we create, but also we mix up. It could be like I say, like a contemporary dance, and then you have something very slow, like a dance music, live music, but very slow, and then we go to traditional music, completely traditional music, like drumming and people dancing with costumes, and then it goes to something that is more like an orchestra or a choir. So I think because of that mix, people never get tired because they sort of like have different tastes as they go along. Obviously, towards the end, that's where we have like really jump kind of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kwame, I'm interested to know if you you sort of mentioned in the beginning of the show about your grandfather or family members who had record players being somewhat influences, but I'm curious about if you had any mentorship when you were a young person that led you, not formal education, but like a community member or a friend or something that was a mentor for you as a young person?
Actually, not I don't know how to put it. Mentorship was there, but it was like invisible. Mm-hmm. It was just because something that is around you. And everybody, most people, and not everybody, but most people were actually, especially us as kids. Like I remember like back in the days, we used to have like public holiday, public festivities. There was what is called Saba Saba, 7-7, which is like Farmers Day, like a National Farmers Day. And this was the climax of National Farmers Day. Usually every region of Tanzania had a specific venue where we had different studios, I would say, maybe like where different farmers associations were sort of like showing out, explaining what they really do and exhibit. But of course, to make it more fun, there were a lot of also performances. People bring like performances with even animals, with snakes, but also just performances with drums and songs. So you have to, we were sort of like, most families will take their members to go to these specific places. But also even religious festivities like for Muslims, the Eid al-Fitr, and during that time, even before that, after the holy month of Ramadan, before that, you know, there is this usually at night, there is a specific kind of like performances was called Daku. This was called so something to remind people to prepare themselves for the following day, where they will eat something special, because tomorrow will be a long day without eating or drinking. Mm-hmm. And so Daku was also another popular area where we would. So I think it was because during our time as kids, we were surrounded by music everywhere. Even during sad times, like during funerals, there was some specific music that was maybe through singing and clapping, you know. So it was like everywhere. So I think that was my mentorship, so to say. But because I was not really, I did not really plan for myself to become a musician. It was just something that was around me. But if I had planned, obviously I would have that specific sort of like mentorship, like a teacher, mm-hmm. to sort of like train me on how to become more professional. But it was there, it was kept there in my heart, because it is something that was around everywhere, even in schools.
Well, maybe we want to start gesturing toward wrap-up time.
So sort of kind of like our final question for everyone is, what sort of advice or sort of words that you can give to upcoming youth, whether it's about learning how to manage sort of projects or just for upcoming artists or musicians, what are some things you would say to them?
For me, maybe, I don't know whether you are asking me in terms of like a global view, or is it like a Tanzanian view or American view?
From your experience, like from what you've learned in your life, what is something, a piece of advice you would give to any aspiring artist? So really it's just about your experience and what you've seen in your world, I would say.
Yeah. First of all, I think what I would like to share with them is that there's a lot mm-hmm. of content, a lot of raw materials to build your house. And there's no tree without roots. I think it's very important not to sort of like just start from up there out of the blue. Maybe creatively, because this is art. This is just my view, my only honest view. And the reason I say that is because for me, when I see these trends of artists, they see something or someone becomes popular, and they all move towards that side, because that particular artist has become popular by doing what he or she does. I think it's very important to still think that, there is a lot of more content out there that you can still create and being honest to your heart. And on the management side of things, for me, usually my advice would be keep those you manage your family. Usually this is how I do it here. When I was managing Jaguar, for them to be able to sort of like trust, because not only to listen to me, but also to trust, I became a family. I participated in different occasions, that like family occasions of the musicians, whether it was sad, like death, or happy, like weddings, a new baby was born and stuff like that. So I'll take a gift to them, and I was there, we ate together, we drank together, and then I think that helped me a lot. Because as I said, musicians like Jaguar, they come from really rough backgrounds, and sometimes this has affected the way they behave sometimes. So with me, I had no problems, until today. They still call me, hey, manager, even though I'm not really officially the manager as of now, although I'd love to, because now I'm really employed by Nafasi. But I think that was one of the areas where I was very successful working with groups like those ones and the one that I'm still associated with. You know, like now I'm at Nafasi, but I still constantly, as I said, you know, getting all these young boys, you know, we want you to manage, you want to manage us, to manage this. And I say, you know, maybe now I don't want to be, I don't want to sort of like, you know, promise something that I cannot deliver, because being a manager, I mean, it's time and dedication to what I have to do, what I have to deliver to you. And so I'd rather be your friend and not just say, you know, because I can manage this and that and that and that, and then not being able to be to make it right to them as they expect from me. I think, I don't know if that is something that gives you an answer to your questions.
No, yeah, for sure. I feel like it's a little bit different from what we've heard, so it's like a nice to hear. It's just nice to hear a little bit of a different response. So, yeah, totally made the mark.
but also, you know, like me, I'm also in the, I'm still, of course, in the learning process. As I said, you know, I do not have like a formal way of education in the arts, but you know, I've learned a lot. I think something that I can also share with the others. But also, I think I have to look on the other perspectives and be able to, because the world is becoming, you know, more or less like one, and we more or less go along the same lines and channels. So it is very important for us. Which is why I said one of my priority areas this year is to network and give opportunities to the artists where they can be able to meet. And nowadays, of course, things like recording, you don't need to go physically. You can record a track and then send it to America, and likewise, back here, and then of course there you have something. But if it happens that you can meet, but then that is another area, that's another side. But areas like residencies, I think these are very important for the artist to be able to test new hits.
For sure.
Well, first I would like to say thank you, Kwame, for being our guest. I'm really excited to share this interview with our listeners. I want to say thank you Metro Community Placemaking Grant for generously funding this radio project, and to Portland Institute for Contemporary Art for their fiscal sponsorship of the show for the past year. We really appreciate that. And I also do want to echo Kwame's invitation and just say, as a resident of this of Nafasi Art Space currently, I've just had such a wonderful experience so far and really met such lovely people. And it's been really interesting and engaging for the work. So I would say also to look at the residency program and please apply.
And if I can add a little bit about residency programs.
Yes,
you know,
please.
Of course, I don't know, but I think, you know, young people like, what's her name?
Nicole,
yes. But who come maybe like, if there's a chance for groups, also visit Tanzania, we'll be very happy to host you here. So please make an effort out there to support young people like her to come to Nafasi, because this is the, for me, this is like the source. This is where there's excitement, and I believe that more. I actually forgot to actually share with you another program that I did. There's this group called Safi Theater. It's actually, I'm sort of like an ambassador of this group. And what they do is that there's this young man, his name is Ramadan, and he trains young people as early as 10, even 8 years old, from very difficult backgrounds, maybe losing parents, orphans, or sometimes like sick parents, or even parents with alcohol problems. And then these young people, what it does is that it trains these young people traditional music and acrobatics. And so in return, you know, we get a chance to sort of perform in different platforms. And I remember I had some issues at one point where some people were asking me, why are you getting young like kids to sort of like work? Because performance is like work. So I've always had this the need to explain why we are doing what we are doing is that, you know, these kids, you know, if you leave them where they are, they grow up unknowingly of what will happen, but usually they end up really in bad situations. So what we do is, of course, they perform, but what we earn usually send them to school. And also there are two schools where we offer free traditional dance and acrobatic classes, and in return they take in some of these kids to go and study. We also have the kids now who are in secondary school, and they actually been through these processes. And we also had a chance to go to Algeria and Germany with these kids. So this is another area where, usually when, it's an area where I gives me the drive to sort of move forward. Because when you see people, young people who were coming from really like having sad stories, and then when you see them, when you see, you can bring them you can bring that smile back, it is so satisfying for me personally. I remember one incident when we were going to Germany. There was this young boy. He was very tiny, but he was very talented. Always was like the star of the show. So then when we wanted to take him, you know, the embassy said, you know, he cannot go because, you know, we need a consent of the father or the mother. And the father, you know, he just disappeared. He never took responsibility. The mother, she was still not settled. So this kid was staying with the grandmother. So I tried many times to go to the embassy to explain, you know, this kid is staying with the grandmother. I took the grandmother there and said, no, we need the mother to be there. And then finally we found out that the mother went to Dubai, but to Dubai she was doing some like secret dances in some like, I don't know, brothels or whatever it is that you may call them. So she was like really not reachable, but we finally managed to, because the embassy said, of course, if the mother is in Dubai, tell the mother to go to the embassy, German embassy in Dubai, and then from there she can prove that, of course, she can say, go ahead and take the kid. And then the mother, we called her, we spoke to her, but she never went to the embassy. I think she was scared because of what she was doing, but we said, this is not a Tanzanian embassy, this is a German embassy. They have nothing with whatever you're doing out there. So finally, I think that was the last day, it was, I think it was on Friday. And if that final day, if that didn't work, then that would have been hit. And we were all so sad because he was our star, but also he was a little boy, and we wanted to be there, and he was so keen to travel for the first time, going abroad for the first time, but also to be part of his team, his family. So I remember that day, we were there standing in the embassy, and then they called. So myself and the boy, we went to the behind the counter where there were two ladies on the other side of the embassy, of the visa section. And then they told me, you just move. They wanted to talk to the boy alone. So when I moved away, before the boy was asked anything, the boy started crying. And then the two ladies also started crying. And then we got the visa. So that was a very, very special occasion. Then they called me. Said, you have to make sure that when you come back from Germany, you bring the whole group here to prove that they are back. So and luckily when we were in Germany, he was also, you know, he was like a star. I remember at some point when we went to schools, a lot of especially young girls, they wanted for him to sign the autography, you know? And then he was asking Uncle Kwame, I mean, why are they wanting me to sign on their books? So you are a star because they want to keep the memory of you. Yes, and then we met this family, and then they fell in love. And until today, this family is sponsoring his studies. And he's now in secondary school in Southern Ireland. He's in high school now.
Mm. You're really such a caretaker of the cultural sphere here. It's been really lovely to talk with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your stories.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to tell everyone who's listening to this podcast about, whether it's about the residents that you have here, where you can find their work, or maybe even where we can find you?
I think you can Google Kwame Mchaulu, and you can find me on Facebook, and not really on Instagram, mm-hmm. but very soon I'll be there. I was, but then I was not so very live there. But also, like, I can share, of course, if you go on Facebook, you can always get me on Messenger, you can get me there. But of course, Nafasiat Space is the place. Mm-hmm. So we are now growing, really, and we really have opportunities of meeting a lot of people. Now we hope the pandemic issue might go down mm-hmm. even more, so we can have more exchanges, even physically, I would say. And here, there's a lot that we want to share with the world, with the art world, with the cultural world. Also, we also need a lot to learn in that same area. So I welcome them all to Nafasiat Space, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here and taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for actually taking time to talk to me.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy miércoles 23 de marzo del 2022. En medio de la pandemia, el incesante bombardeo ruso de Mariupol continúa reduciendo a la ciudad portuaria cenizas y haciendo que el rescate y la evacuación de los residentes restantes sea traicionero, si no imposible. Las autoridades ucranianas dijeron hoy que llegaron a un acuerdo con Rusia para crear 9 corredores.